Kenya, as I always said since the beginning of the lockdown, was going to be my first destination as soon as I got an international flight. I'm just going to pause for a second before I do make that booking. there are many other places one can go. I could just turn to a trusty travel agent, such as the Foreign Minister of Russia, Sergei Lavrov. We wanted to speak about this last week during Emerging Economies with Professor Irina Filatova, Professor Emeritus and Senior Research Fellow at UKZN. We often speak to her on a Thursday, and we ran out of time to speak about this critical topic. We endeavored at that time to table it again this week. And I think it is critical insofar as the geopolitical spotlight has been put on this continent. Professor, good morning. Such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov's recent visit to Egypt, Ethiopia, Uganda, and the Republic of Congo, and the charm offensive that we've been seeing from Russia.
Well, there were a lot charm offensives, I must say. It's not only Lavrov, but this week it is Blinken, and then there was Macron in West Africa, so it is quite a lot of celebrities and dignitaries going to Africa these days.
And specifically, and it seems as though it's another moment of the final frontier. I don't know, it feels like Berlin 1881, but what is Russia's intent in this particular case, would you say?
Look, Lavrov's visit was quite obvious what was going on. First of all, it was the visit which was designated and designed to show to the world, to the West and to Africa that Russia is not at all isolated, that everybody is eager and willing to meet with Russian foreign minister, and that there are a lot of questions to be discussed and so on. So it was not only Egypt, Congo, Uganda and Ethiopia. It is also in Egypt he met Arab League leaders, and in Ethiopia he met African Union leaders. And in practical terms, Lavrov tried to persuade the African countries which suffered particularly from the embargo, grain embargo, and blockade of the Black Sea, that it is not Russia's fault. It is the fault of Ukraine. Ukraine, according to Lavrov, mined the Black Sea and its ports, well, obviously, in order to defend them. And that was the reason why grain could not go out. And then there were also Western sanctions against Russia. Russia's grain could not go out because the insurance companies refused to insure the Russian ships carrying grain because of the sanctions, obviously. So that was quite successful because now the grain is purportedly going, and I don't know whether it will last, but that was Lavrov said that this was Russia who did the deal about the grain. But there was something else, which is Russia recently, in the last few years, in the last 10 years, Russia had a very significant impact in Africa, particularly West Africa. And this had to be consolidated. This had to be shown to the world that Russia is a very important player in Africa now. It is another Cold War. It is another front of the new Cold War. And African countries they will benefit from this Cold War. So what else Russia was showing? Russia was showing that it is defending stability. And in West Africa in particular, it is very popular. Mali and Central African Republic, where the Russian military group Wagner is present, and Russia supplies arms. It's the biggest arms supplier, arms trader in Africa. It is present in Sudan. The visit was the continuation of the policy of finding places where the Western influence or Western connection was somehow weakened. It was true about Uganda, for example, where the relations, Ugandan President Museveni relations with the West were very good, but then there happened to be the suppression of the rebels and then the question of LGBT rights. These issues somehow spoiled relations with the West, so Lavrov goes to Uganda. Same thing in Ethiopia. Ethiopia had absolutely wonderful relations with the West, but then the uprising in the Tigray province, which had suppressed, so Russia goes to Ethiopia.
If I may, Irina, at this point, I'm going to come to the Eastern countries just now, as I think they'll have a little bit more of a play on the Secretary of State Antony Blinken's visit. But let's go back to in the same week, because you mentioned how he's popular in West Africa. In the same week, Macron is also crisscrossing West Africa. So he's in Cameroon, Benin, Guinea-Bissau, and interestingly has recently tried to pull his troops out of Mali. And so I imagine Lavrov has better, you know, has got an advantage there, right? The French just left you. As you rightly say, he's popular in Mali, or at least Russia is popular in Mali. As I understand it, Macron's trip was also focused on grain and giving their own take on why grain wasn't making its way to West Africa. Do you think his trip was successful?
I think it was a much lower profile trip than Blinken's and Lavrov's trip. Macron repeated what the Western line on that is, and that's that it is the Russian fault. There was nothing new about it. But it is interesting that he went to the countries which are still more or less free of the Russian influence in West Africa. That was very interesting to me.
Right.
It was as if it was to counter this Russian offensive, ideological offensive, because it is an ideological, not just military offensive in West Africa. That was to reestablish French presence in the in West Africa more than any concrete reason. Right. Unlike Blinken's and Lavrov's visit, that I think was the difference between the three of them.
What was your thought about Antony Blinken's choices? South Africa, DRC, and Rwanda?
South Africa, understandably. Africa is a very important country, and I think that Blinken would have gone to Nigeria and maybe to Kenya as well, if it were not for the elections, because you never go to the countries and speak to the leaders that may who may not be there tomorrow. That is why South Africa, where the elections are still far away, South Africa important economically, South Africa important politically, it is part of BRICS. The choice was obvious. South Africa is the frontier for this new ideological Cold War. It was a good to speak about democracy. That was what Blinken was pushing through, his new approach to democracy.
He
as a common challenge to us together.
He did visit Nigeria and Kenya on his last visit. So he did that in November when he visited Senegal.
Yeah, that was still so far away. Yeah.
Indeed. Out of interest, it's a question that I asked of another analyst we had earlier this week. Just my last question, Prof, because we're out of time. Do you think for African leaders who are being courted, do you think the political ideology, like democracy or state governance, matters more? Or do you think a conversation about trade, arms, money, regardless of your democratic position, matters more for African leaders in general?
I think African leaders, like every other leader in the world, are practical people. They are interested in the interests of their country, in the interests of their power, and they are interested in money. Of course, money talks. Blinken promised in terms of the Global Fragility Act to bring some more money to Africa. Not a lot, I would say $20 million per year. for 10 years. And that is one thing. But simultaneously, the United States passed passed a bill about countering malign Russian activities in Africa Act, which may stop the Al Gore agreement for South Africa. And that must have been one of the questions raised, because Naledi Pandor said that it was a very offensive legislation, and so the Americans will have to think twice about doing it. I think it is practical issues that interest African leaders.
Always fascinating. Thanks for giving us not only Russia, but France and US and South Africa rundown, Professor Irina Filatova. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up with you next Thursday on our next Emerging Economies. Professor Emeritus and Senior Research Fellow at UKZN.